It's from Luke 4. It's verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
I wonder, what are the things that you get really, really excited about? The things that you can't help but tell other people about. You know, maybe you've gone and seen a movie, or maybe you've had a great meal. Maybe somebody's been healed. Maybe you've just bought a new home. Maybe you ran a marathon yesterday and beat your arch enemy by 33 minutes. It was a great day yesterday. So, but you know, there are some things that just get us really, really excited. I'm thinking about, you know, the end of the Second World War, VE Day. Some of those iconic images of people dancing in the streets, and there were just crowds and crowds and crowds of people doing exciting dancing and singing because something really momentous had happened. They couldn't help but celebrate some of those things. Or when Australia won the America's Cup, or where Cathy Freeman, won that iconic race at the Olympics, or that beautiful one where Steve Bradbury, everybody else falls, but he had to get to the final, didn't he, to even be there, and he kept on going and he won, and everybody went absolutely wild. I wonder, what are the things that get you really, really excited? We've been talking about freedom. And for the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about the freedom that we have in God. And I wonder how many of us really, really remember on a day-to-day basis the incredible joy that we have from the freedom that comes from that. And can we not but tell other people about it? See, when we enter into freedom in God and all the different things that God has done for us, how can we keep that to ourselves? There's been a number of things that freedom brings. The Bible says the truth shall set you free. And we've been talking about the freedom to be authentic, the freedom to bring our own songs to God. What an exciting thing. The freedom from lies, freedom from fear, freedom to experience joy. They are the things that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. But have you thought about this? You are free to share the good news with our world. Have you ever thought about that as a freedom that we have? We have this incredible message from God, and we get to share that with the world in which we live. Now, it might not be a message they necessarily want to hear, but we have this incredible gift. Oprah, a number of years ago, 2004, she brought a whole heap of people into her room, and I think there were 204 of them or something or other, and she gave them all a box. And at the end of the show, she got them to open up this box, and in the box was a key to a new car. 204 people got a brand new car. I looked up on the internet, what is that worth today? About $18 million Australian. Can you imagine that they went home and the husband said, oh, what happened today? Oh, nothing. What's that thing out the front? Oh, just found on the side of the street, you know, it's just a new car, don't worry about it. They would have been going and telling everybody about this amazing new gift that God had given them. That they'd been given a gift of freedom in the sense that many of the women in these pictures, they were actually selected because they particularly needed a car, either because they had somebody disabled in their family, they were poor, something was happening in their life where this car represented freedom. And they went into the show to see Oprah, just thinking how amazing it is to see Oprah. And they walked out with this gift that they didn't expect. And they told everybody about it. Now, interestingly enough, Oprah didn't pay the sales tax on the cars. And there were a couple of people, not everybody, most of them got it for free for some reason, but a couple of them got caught up in the sales tax. And they got more upset with Oprah about the sales tax that they had to pay than the new car that they got. And that can be true about Christian faith as well, that there, we've been talking about freedom. One of the things we're going to be entering into the other side of freedom later on in our series is obedience. And that's the other side of the equation. You take a coin and there's a heads and there's a tails. One side of that coin is freedom we have in God. And we need to understand that the other side is the freedom to obey the God who created the universe. The freedom he's told us about the way to live, and that we need to line up our lives with that kind of freedom. We've also been talking about, every 6 or 8 weeks, we've been talking about what does it mean to share our faith with the world, and what are some tips around that. And so we're back into this chapter of this book that we've been talking about, how to talk about Jesus. And I'm just going to concentrate for a little bit on the hint where he says one of the most important things we can do is to listen, is to hear. Is to hear the stories of the people in our world. Stephen Covey, in that classic book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he has these habits that are internal to us, things we've got to work on. And then he's got some external behaviours we need to do. And one of the critical ones in there is seek first to understand and then to be understood. If you're like me, you might find that incredibly difficult. I have opinions about everything, and I want you to know them. And I'll tell you them whether you want to know them or not. And if you happen to mention running, I'll tell you everything about running. You know, I always say in some of my classes, I say, if you get bored, what's something somebody can talk to you about to distract you? And my one is always running and grandchildren. They are the two things that if you mention it to me, I'm going to get distracted. Oh, no, my wife. Yeah, of course my wife, but that's just that's a given. So you're throwing me under a bus here. I'm in all sorts of trouble. But seeking first to understand, now it's quite helpful to understand that there are some different ways of listening to people. The first one is listening for your turn. How many of us do that? We're listening to the conversation, but we're really just waiting for us to get our bit in. What about listening so you can make a point? Again, it's kind of related to it as well, but the level of listening really needs to be listening so they can be heard. Now, I've had this happen to me down at my local bar where I go. This top photo represents, it's not quite the guy, but it kind of looks like him, and I won't tell you who it is. But about 2 weeks ago, we were having a conversation, and we got into politics. And in amongst that conversation on politics, we also got into religion. You know, the two things you really don't want to talk about all the time, religion and politics. And I walked away from that conversation realising I had constantly been listening for my turn so that I could make a point. A week later, I was back there and I was talking to another guy, and this actually does look very much like this other guy. Good-looking bloke with a long beard, rides a motorbike like all good people do. And I was sitting there and I was talking to this guy, and he said, oh, I'm changing jobs, and we're talking about changing jobs or whatever. And then in amongst all of that, he mentioned that his wife had died 3 years ago. I had heard him talk about not having his wife around anymore, and I had just assumed that he'd divorced from his wife. He's a rough, gruff-looking guy. Really lovely heart, but I could well imagine that he'd been through some difficult relationships, so I had just assumed that he'd been divorced. And he said, no, my wife died of cancer 3 years ago. And I went, oh. And then we were just listening and we were talking, and I'd learnt some lessons from the week before, and I shut my gob for once in my life, and I kept on just listening to him. And then he says, and my son died 4 weeks ago. And I'm going, because we were talking about his dog and the fact that he loves sitting at home and his dog just sits there and he has a beer, and sometimes his dog just puts his head up on his lap. And he said, and I just sobbed and I cried. And I thought, that's really strange. And then he told me what was happening in his life. And so within a week, in the same environment, I had been listening for my turn and been quite destructive, I guess, in many ways, in the way that I communicated. And then I learnt just to shut my gob, and I heard this guy pour out his heart. And he started to talk about some other things. And then, interestingly enough, as I was leaving that day, another guy who was sitting at our table, and we were kind of at different tables at this point, but as I went by, I said, see you, Derek, see you next week. And he said, oh, I love coming to this place because everybody talks about stuff all the time. So a completely different guy in the conversation was saying, I feel heard in this place. And that's why I kind of love going down to Rube's, because I have full-on arguments, but also I get to hear and be heard. That's exactly the role of the church. We have this incredible message from God, and we need to hear the heartbeat of people, not so that we can have our turn to promote Jesus, but so that we hear the heartbeat, and then at some point when people feel heard, they might say, or we might say, hey, this is one of the ways in which I've made it through some of those very difficult parts of my life. I love what Charles Duhigg says in his new book, Super Communicators. He asks this question: do you want to be heard, helped, or hugged? It's a brilliant question to ask. When somebody starts, they get home from whatever and they start talking, and us blokes quite likely are going to say, well, if you want to know, the solution is, all you have to do is. And our wives say, I don't need to be helped, I need to be heard or hugged. And sometimes we need, and I found this an incredible little framework, it's so simple. But as I go into, and I think that's why I had the second conversation, because in the back of my head, as this guy was talking, I didn't actually ask him that, but I asked myself that. Does this guy need to be helped, heard, or hugged? And he needed to be heard and metaphorically hugged, which was mean having a beer together in that particular context. And so as Christians, we get to say to people, do you want to be heard, helped, or hugged? We also get to ask another question that isn't in the book. Could I pray for you about that? I had a phone call from, I've just finished one of my contracts with New South Wales Health, and it was kind of surprising. A guy came back from a long service leave, and he came to take the job back. It was kind of unexpected in how brief it was. Otherwise, I would have said to my students, hey, I'm only here for 3 or 4 units, and then the other guy will come back. I kind of expected to teach these guys for the whole year. And I've had three or four conversations with people who rang me up out of the blue and said, thank you for being our teacher. I've just heard that you're not going to be our teacher anymore. And in amongst that was one who I'm very careful when I'm teaching in a non-Christian environment, to be careful I don't push my values or overimpose on people. But this woman, I'd heard her say some stuff, and I simply said to her, would you like me to pray for you? And so I said, I pray for people every morning. Can I add you to my list? And she's just gone through some domestic violence, also, and now got some medical issues. And I've just been able to say to her, I am praying for you. And she's really appreciated that. And that's something as a Christian I get to do that other people don't get to do. I get to bring the Spirit of God by hearing and hugging people. You get to hear when you can say, could I pray for you? And some people you might pray for right then, and others you might simply say, I pray for people regularly. Would you like me to add you? When Margaret turned up this morning, I said, Margaret, I was thinking about you this morning, and I realised I was praying for Margaret this morning, about motorbikes actually, but I was praying for Margaret. And it's lovely to be able to see faces and say, I was praying for you. I might not have been able to do much else in that particular context, but I was lifting you up before the God of the universe, the one that can bring the healing, the one that will bring you the thing that you ultimately need. There's also a little book by a guy called Gottman. He's a Jewish marriage counsellor. And he has this incredibly little helpful idea. He talks about bids, B-I-D-S, that people are constantly making bids to us. They are saying or doing something in the hope that we will respond appropriately to them. You know, they might say, I've had a really rough day. And what they're really wanting you to do is sit down and to listen to them. And I found that little language about what are the bids that people, when my grandchildren run up to me, when I'm sitting having a beer with somebody, when my wife comes in and has had a long week working, and somebody says something, what are they bidding for? What are they asking for? And can I give back to them what they need? See, I believe that all the good things about communication come from God. And that we can learn from all different places, but they are godly principles about listening and responding to people. I think I've gone on long enough. I might finish this another week. So let's invite these guys to come up. And I invite you to start to ask yourself the question, who is God putting in my life that I can help, hurt or hug, that I can listen to and that I can respond to? Let's stand together and sing our last song.